All right, so I'm going to be brief because I know we have limited time and we want to try to make time for questions. So just as Jody mentioned, you know, if an individual is classified as arriving, you're going to want to make that parole request. And just to highlight some things that I think are important to prepare a really persuasive packet. This was discussed previously at the previous panel, but I think it's really important to spend the time to speak with your client to really get an accurate picture of their story and know, like, who they are, because you want to present that to the deportation officer if you're applying for parole or to the immigration judge. So when you're preparing that parole packet, you want to make sure you have a few things. I think it's important to have a cover letter. There's no application that you need to submit for parole, but I think it's important to have a cover letter that spells out all the reasons why you're advocating for their release, cite to the ICE directive, and address those concerns that ICE is going to have, whether or not they've established their identification to ICE's satisfaction, whether or not they're a flight risk, do they have community ties, are they a danger to the community? So your packet should be addressing all of those issues. So confirming with your client they have their identification or they have other individuals in the U.S. with legal status who can attest to their ID. Also, a letter of support is really important. They're going to need a letter from a sponsor, ideally from someone who knows them. Sometimes that's not possible, so you might be using a letter from a shelter where they're going to stay, but if they know someone in the U.S. that can provide that letter, that's really important. And I've seen, we'll talk about court hearing or bond hearings as well, but the judges will ask, well, how do you know this person? How long have you known this person? So making sure that ideally you can find someone that knows them. And that person is going to need legal status, so they're going to need to provide documentation showing that they do have legal status. I think in addition to that sponsor letter, if there's other family and friends, employer that can provide additional letters, that's really important and it's really compelling. I think what we found, and I'm sure Jody can also confirm, is ICE is denying those paroles. It's getting more difficult to have a client released on parole or to have your client released on bond. So taking the time to meet with your client to get really compelling letters and talking with the family and friends, I think that's time well spent to really make sure that they're drafting and creating letters that are in their voice, but that are really compelling to the judge. And then other evidence that can demonstrate compelling humanitarian reasons for their release. So if they have a medical diagnosis, I'm trying to get medical records to discuss why they should be released because they need treatment outside of detention. And sometimes all I have are the ICE medical documents, so I'll use those.
One thing to note, too, is that at least in Deep South Texas, if you don't have an original identity document, like i.e. a travel document that would allow ICE to ship your client back home, they won't consider parole. They want to have that original identity document in their file. You have to turn over the original or else they won't consider it for parole.
Yes. Thank you, Jody. And then for you're just everyone to have for their review, I have the parole advisal language that your client should be receiving once they have that credible fear, a positive determination, then I should be providing this notice to your client. I won't go over this because we talked about the documents that you need to address those issues, so you can review that. And then you will have, on the second page, it says that they're going to have a scheduled ICE interview. What I found in practice is there's not actual interview where the deportation officer is asking them questions. It's just the time or around the time they're going to be reviewing that parole packet. So if they do deny your client's request to be released on parole, you should, again, have written notice with, and here's the parole denial language. I think it's really important, once you receive that denial, just to not accept it. See if there's ways that you can address ICE's concerns, and they should specify the reasons for denying. Was it because they didn't establish their identification? Was it because they're a flight risk? Or, as the second page goes on to say, they don't have community ties. So, you know, take the time to review this, talk with your client, and find ways to address it. As Jody mentioned, and I think this is true, ICE and us, we have different goals, right? But communicating with them is really important. Get to know your deportation officer and the other deportation officers and try to meet with them face-to-face. I know they're not responsive via email or via phone, but when I'm at the detention facility and I'm meeting with the client, I'm also going to try to meet with the DO and say, hey, can we just talk about my client's parole request? I'm trying to find ways to address your concerns. And I think persistence is really important. I had a case recently where I was advocating for a client's release, and he had a stroke, and there was, you know, I was waiting on medical documents and I hadn't received them yet, but I kept talking to ICE a few times. And then suddenly I get a call from the family member that they were released. And it was because apparently they provided me the written notice, the client did actually, and it said that they had carefully reviewed my packet, which I had not submitted. I just had been bothering ICE a lot. Friendly, but I was bothering them. So I think they maybe just wanted to get rid of me. So, and just briefly, I know we have very few minutes left, but for the bond hearing, just a few things to note. You don't have to wait until that NTA is filed to submit a request for bond. So that's important to know. You don't have to wait. Also check and see if ICE has already made a custody determination regarding whether or not your client can be released on parole if they're bond. I mean, sorry, on bond. And if not, then you can make your request before with ICE or before the judge.
Just know your local judges, too. There's at least 3 judges out at the Port Isabel Detention Center that will not consider a bond hearing if they don't have the NTA. So, yeah, I know, that's against the law, but, you know, immigration.